Right now, and for the next few minutes, Jeannie Allen, director of the Center for Education Reform, D.C.-based. And what they've done, a report we're looking over this morning, a report card, as a matter of fact, evaluating Georgia's charter school law. Law just passed. Law just changed. Jeannie Allen, the Center for Education Reform, thanks for your time this morning.
Good morning, Tim.
First off, the Center for Education Reform, who are you folks and what do you do?
A national research and advocacy group devoted to substantive and structural change in U.S. education. Been around about 18 years and advocate for programs and policies that put kids, parents, and teachers first.
All right, Georgia's charter school law changed since the state Supreme Court tossed out reforms enacted 4 years ago. Give it a grade of C and a ranking of 20th overall, 20th, I'm assuming, among the 50 states. Why the grade and why the ranking?
Well, and 20th actually among the nation's 42 charter laws, because we still have 9 out there that don't have laws, and District of Columbia is thrown in there as the 51st. We rank charter school laws and evaluate how well they're doing what they were intended to do when the legislators passed them, Tim. And if you're going to actually allow for a public education reform that is designed to both promote greater choices and opportunities among parents, especially those that need them the most, then you have to have policies and laws in place that actually foster and encourage those things to happen. And Georgia started out the gate in 1993. Its law was very moderate. It didn't allow for a lot of autonomy. School districts fought a lot, and still do, which we can talk about, to whether or not parents should be able to open these. They want to control the purse strings. They want to control the power. And then finally, the legislature passed this bill that you referred to that would allow another kind of entity, which is a same kind of entity in about 17 other states, so that instead of having to fight your school board to open up a charter school, you could go to an independent state commission. And the Supreme Court, in their inestimable non-wisdom, threw it out, said it was unconstitutional. Not true, but still, they rule. And now the voters will have a chance to decide for themselves in November. Meanwhile, you've got a law that's back to square one the way it was in 1993. And what we know about great chartering is that you need independent entities that give lots of freedom and flexibility and equal funds to schools so that they survive.
Jeannie Allen, Center for Education Reform. I'm going to ask this question. I've asked it of others. I can almost anticipate your response here, but bear with me on this. The whole premise of charter schools is that, and you just outlined it there, it's that schools are created that would have flexibility, some degree of autonomy, from what some see as overburdensome regulations that are handed down from typically the state government. If we these burdens so onerous, if we find these regulations so burdensome, then why not just do away with them at that level and forget about the whole business of charter schools? You wouldn't need charter schools if the regulations didn't exist in the first place.
And it's a common argument among school boards and school leaders all over the country and has been for almost 30 years that, yes, we know that these regulations are onerous, free us. And guess what, Tim? Both in Georgia as well as around the country, we have done that, and people still don't change. If you're used to doing things a certain way, that just simply saying, oh, you don't have to do it this way anymore, doesn't change the culture unless you start over. So what we found is actually having new schools that do things differently and can show a path for traditional public education is a model. It actually makes all public schools better. We've got 20 years of charter schools in this country, 5,700. We know what works in effective schools. These are not new concepts, but these are concepts that don't come to the top of the barrel when traditional schools try to get them engaged.
All right, well, give me some examples. Jeannie Allen, Center for Education Reform, give me some examples here. What's an onerous regulation, and what have some charter schools done, what have some states done to get around them?
Well, let's start with basic requirements, okay? People wake up in the morning and they go out to their zoned public school as if having a zoned public school means that you can actually, that somehow that fits the child's needs. You have in that school teachers per classroom that are usually the same class sizes from class to class. You have to hire teachers that are based on usually seniority and length of time in the classroom. Then you have to actually prescribe a curriculum that the school district some years ago said was the right curriculum and use books that were purchased centrally by people and institutions that have nothing to do with the kids in Georgia. So right now your barriers are already fixed processes in place that to overcome them, you have to basically challenge everyone who had a role in the decision making.
All right, well, just to pick apart some of that, I mean, the books. Algebra hasn't changed in a couple of hundred years. Maybe the way we teach it has, but, I mean, math hasn't changed.
Actually, the approach to math, you'd be amazed, there are thousands of different approaches to math, and we're not doing a very good job in this country. Barely 32% of our fourth graders are even proficient in math, so we must be doing something wrong. And frankly, what you get in books, it varies. So you have books with pictures. We have books that actually teach fuzzy math, and they tell people that there's not the same answer at the other end. You can come up with your own. And there are people, frankly, most of our math and science teachers in this country are not qualified to teach it. What charters can do, because they're not tied to a fixed contract, they're not tied to who was in the school or the classroom or the school board 5 years ago, is they can go out and recruit new people. They can go out and say, hey, have you always wanted to teach this way? We're going to give you a chance to do this, and be held accountable for performance, not accountable for the fact that there was a building there that's opened every year in September for 50 years.
All right, here's the problem that we're running into here in Georgia. As you mentioned earlier, a November referendum on whether there should be a state charter school commission to establish and fund charter schools. The referendum is worded in such a way, the legislation passed in such a way, that no state money can be diverted, no local money can be diverted into a charter school. Got to find another area, another avenue for funding for these things. That seems to me, and a lot of people, to create a whole nother set of problems.
Well, let's remember also that Supreme Court justices, whether you're at the federal or state level,
that unelected
are
group of people.
They're individuals, right?
Yeah.
And they're people who make interpretation, just like lawyers are different from room to room, let alone law firm to law firm. And what they said was that money couldn't be moved out of the traditional public education system into charter schools. Charter schools are public schools, and in fact, the legislature, our founders in Georgia, gave the legislature the authority to decide what kind of public education systems there should be in the state. So the legislature did. And frankly, legislative powers trump education powers, but the Supreme Court didn't see this. We don't divert money to different schools under a charter arrangement, Tim. Children in charter schools are public school students. They are no less public school students than the children who are going to the zoned public school that was put up years ago. And so money should follow kids to the school of choice. There's no other industry in America where we actually send money to institutions regardless of whether they fail or succeed every year for kids.
Jeannie Allen, Center for Education Reform. By the way, the unelected group of people, that's the president's reference to the U.S. Supreme Court. We do elect Supreme Court justices here in Georgia. Finally, quickly, just a few seconds left here, point to a couple of states that earn high marks on this report card. Where is a state, if I'm looking for one, that does charter schools right?
Well, you've got just slightly south of you, Florida actually has a high B. They've done a lot of really strong things to make sure there's equitable funding. They've got a binding appeal process. Money follows kids for the most part. That's something you can relate to. South Carolina is a few clicks up from you guys. D.C., Minnesota, Arizona, Colorado are our top performers. These are states that have had independent entities authorizing charters, lots of freedom and flexibility. As a result, lots of great opportunities for kids.
Jeannie Allen, the Center for Education Reform. Again, this report card ranking the states. Georgia getting a C with its charter school legislation. There's a place to see this report. Here it is, edreform.com, edreform.com. You can find this report there. Jeannie Allen, Center for Education Reform. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks so much, Tim.